Blog Talk Radio.
Live and bass from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, hosted by Joe Mullinax.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, step on the plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirtbag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim thugging them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like in Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect, all I need is a check. Mike, check.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, and this is the last week that I can say I am the host by myself, because our guest tonight is also our new co-host of the podcast, Mr. Brandon Connor. I'm excited to bring him on. And it's going to be really cool to have somebody to talk to again. You know, Chris Faulkner and I, we had a lot of good times together. The former site manager over at grizzlybearblues.com, he let me run with this show. He let me make it my baby. And any success it has had is thanks in large part to Chris Faulkner and his trust and belief in me. So thanks to Chris for that. And obviously I had Chip Williams as a producer and co-host in the past as well. And Chip did a tremendous job trying to, you know, take the show on the radio in Memphis. And, you know, that was an experiment that didn't last too long, but that's okay. You never know until you try something. So here we are again. I've been doing it for a while by myself, and I'm excited to have a buddy, a pal, a compadre, a co-host once again. His name is Brandon Connor. Brandon C. at Ball from Grace. Welcome, co-host.
Hey, it's good to be here.
I'm excited to have you. Like I said, it can get a little bit tiring at times talking to yourself. Now, don't get me wrong. I can do that pretty well, whether it be Twitter or, you know, just day-to-day life. I talk and talk and talk. That's something that I'm pretty good at, but it doesn't make for the best podcast. I'm always looking for ways to improve, and you are one of our best in terms of passion, in terms of content over at GBB. So I'm excited to be going through this new opportunity with you. Ways to get in touch with the show, ladies and gentlemen. You can follow us on Twitter at GBB Live. Again, at GBB Live. And I would recommend that you do that in these next couple of minutes, especially if you're listening to the live show, because we're going to be doing a live Grizz Essentials giveaway here in about 15 minutes, right smack dab in the middle of the podcast. We're going to do a shorter show this week because we're going to have a longer playoff preview next week. So a little bit shorter show this week, but we wanted to do a giveaway, especially for our live listeners. So in about 15 minutes, a trivia question is coming your way. Make sure you're listening, and you can tweet at us, or if you want to call into the show even. I haven't done that in a while, Brandon. But you know what? I'm feeling frisky on our new beginnings night. So at GB Live, maybe we'll let you call in, and we'll do the Grizz Essentials giveaway here in a little bit. You can follow myself on Twitter, at Joe Mullinax. You can follow Brandon on Twitter, at Ball From Grace. And you can follow our blog, SB Nation Grizzlies, at SB Nation Grizzlies. That is grizzlybearblues.com, the SB Nation NBA blog for the Memphis Grizzlies. Brandon, let's get right into it. You mentioned on Twitter that you have been having a crazy evening. I'm pretty curious how you began or how you spent your hours leading up to your GBB Live co-host debut.
Well, this is going to be kind of like, I don't know if you listen to Locked On Grizzlies today, but they had an episode with Fred Katz, who had a mishap with the Delta Airlines luggage. So this is going to be kind of a mini version of that. So, like, I went to work today, and my boss told me, he's like, hey, this company that's down the street from us has this annual event for customers, and so they have, like, crawfish and everything. So I've got an extra ticket if you want to go. So I was like, you know, free food, free drinks, you know, I'm there. So I was like, I'll just head on over. It started at like 4. So I went over, get there, end up eating. And I'm like, they give you like this massive plate. And so like I end up eating the entire thing and I'm like stuffed. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to head home. It's probably about 6:15, 6:20. I figure since it's late, I'm not going to hit any traffic, but they're doing construction on the highway. So it's like 7 o'clock at night, and I'm ending up in rush hour traffic. And so it's a nightmare. And so I'm furious. I'm like, I got to get home, got to get ready for the show. I want to do a little bit of prep before I go on for the first time. And so, you know, I'm just like kind of sitting there stewing, like kind of muttering under my breath. And then the phone rings. And so I'm like, it's an 800 number. So I just assume like it's just like a telemarketer. So I pick it up and they say, hello, this is ADT. Your security system has gone off. And so I'm like, most of the time when that happens, you know, it's the living room and it's the cats. And I'll have them send somebody out, but it's usually the cat hits the alarm that's like connected to one of the windows. And so it's no big deal. They just come out, check, say everything's fine. It's okay. And so I'm like, you know, what, like, which alarm was it? And she's like, well, it's all your windows. All your windows have, like, all your window alarms have gone off. So now I'm panicking. So I call my wife, like, you know, what, are you at home yet? She's like, I'm on my way home. I'm almost home. I was like, go to the neighbors. The alarms company just called me. I think somebody might have broken into the house. And so she goes to the neighbor's house. I get there. I pull up. And I opened the door and they're like talking and they had just gotten there. So apparently a car had driven by with like bass turned up like as loud as they could. And it had just set off, like it had made the windows rattle and it set off all the alarms. And so
I go from
super happy after eating, driving home, getting frustrated in traffic. And then the alarm goes off. So I'm in a panic. And so it's just like this incredible like wave of emotions and like an hour. And so it's just been like the evening has just been like nonstop craziness to this point.
Well, allow for me to be your calming presence, Brandon. That's what I'm all about. I'm about calm. I'm about rational thought. I'm about spirited debate, but in a confident, low key way. We're going to be just fine here. We're going to make it happen and allow this to be your escape. You know, allow this to be your spot where you just kind of catch your breath, my friend. Now go ahead.
I was going to say that's the good thing about sports is you can like use that to get away from like all the stress of your daily life. So I'm definitely in for that.
Excellent. Well, unfortunately, one of the flaws of our plan, Brandon, is the Grizzlies are not necessarily following along with that idea. They're not playing their best basketball going into the playoffs. They have lost. Let's see. They've lost one, two, three. They've lost seven of their last nine games, which is certainly not ideal. They have lost four games in a row. Then they had a two-game little winning streak mini thing where, again, people are like, oh, my God, they could come back. And people still haven't learned their lesson that this team is as streaky as they come. To be honest with you, Brandon, as long as they maybe win one game to clinch that seven seed, because there's still an outside possibility, I think. I haven't checked it lately, but there's still an outside possibility, I believe, that Portland can catch Memphis for that seven seed, at least as of this recording. As long as that's clinched up, they could lose every game as far as I'm concerned because they're so streaky. Maybe they'll go on a good streak in the playoffs and beat the Spurs in five somehow, and it won't make any sense. That's how this team has played the past month or so.
I certainly hope so. I mean, just like the thing that's gone on lately is like they got on that four-game winning streak. Then they ended up the four-game losing streak right after that was kind of explainable. I mean, the game in New Orleans was bad. Then you played against San Antonio and Golden State. You're probably going to lose those games anyway. And then Mark sat out. And then the game against Sacramento was probably the worst loss on that road trip. But you could kind of explain away at least like two or three of those games. And then Conley's been like you've had Mark go out. You've had Conley go out. So they've just dealt with like injuries, but they've been injuries in waves. And so it hasn't been like massive. Like you had Jermichael missing time too. And so they've just – like everything's been sort of disjointed because you've been working like Fizdale hasn't had like a full strength lineup lately to work with. So they've been like, they've hit lows, but there's kind of been a little bit of just injury, bad luck that's kind of helped that along. So as long as they can get healthy, I'd like to see them win a couple more games just to mainly to hit the over. Because I took the over at the beginning of the season. But as long as they can get healthy before the start of the playoffs, then I'm not too worried about them going in.
I think they're going to win two of their next three. I think they're going to beat the Knicks. I think that they're going to beat Dallas on the last day of the season. I could see them losing to Detroit. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. But at the same time, it just really is interesting to see how unbelievably streaky this team has been. Again, three-game losing streak, two-game winning streak. Four-game losing streak, four-game winning streak. 5-game losing streak. Ever since March, ever since the calendar turned to March, so for the past 5 weeks or so, this team has been up and down. They have not won, you know, it hasn't been an alternating win-loss in the past 5 weeks. They've either lost and lost for a long time, or they've won and won for a long time. Why do you think that is? Do you think it is because of the health? They've certainly been banged up, Mike Conley, Marc Gasol, especially Mark. Jamichael Green has missed some time. Do you attribute that to the injuries? Do you attribute it to the schedule? Or is it the fact that the Grizzlies have always been this way, Brandon? They really have. They've always been a team that kind of swoons at some point in the season, and then they get to the playoffs, and they compete, and they may still not win because they're flawed, and we'll talk about that. But at the same time, they at least look like a different team. Do you give them the benefit of the doubt to kind of flip that switch at this point?
I mean, I do. They're a veteran team. Like, Zebo and Tony Allen are especially, like, they're in their mid-30s at this point. You don't expect them to go, like, 100% all the time. The Jamichael Green injury, you've had the Mark injury, then Mike ends up getting sliced open on the eye in, like, freak accident. And they played the Spurs pretty tough during that game anyway. So that gives me a little confidence. I just think it's part of the personality of this team. The Lakers loss, the Kings loss are probably more concerning. Those are kind of – I didn't end up watching the Lakers game. That was like a Sunday afternoon game, and I was out. But just those sort of games, they've had those just sort of funky games. And then I think part of that was the fact that they're on the West Coast, and it was like a 2:30 game, so it's like 12:30 local time. So, like, I think you can kind of – like I said earlier, you can kind of rationalize a lot of these losses, like the streaks that they've gone on, just based off of like health reasons and then like timing reasons and just all the sort of different things. Like, they haven't been like completely dismantled in a lot of these games. They've been like down to the wire. I think it's just a combination of everything. And so I think once they get to the playoffs, they'll be locked in. If they're healthy, they should be good to go. And I think they'll compete against San Antonio. I don't see San Antonio like completely destroying them. I think San Antonio is still probably a favorite to win. I think if they can take it 6 games, I think that's a good result. I mean, obviously losing in the first round isn't ideal, but I still think they'll compete. It should be a decent series. And I think San Antonio is probably the best matchup for them at this point. I think I'd rather play San Antonio than Houston at this point.
It's kind of like choosing between which appendage do you want cut off, or which exterior part of your body. Do you want your pinky finger? Do you want your pinky toe? Or do you want half of your ear? You know, something like that. Which one of the three would you prefer? Would you prefer death by Spurs, death by Rockets, or death by Warriors? And you're not alone in that sentiment, Brandon. I've heard multiple people. I've talked with multiple folks. This isn't the same Spurs team. The Spurs are not as good as they've been in the past. This is the Spurs that are, you know, most vulnerable that we've seen in a long time. The Spurs have won 60 games, okay? The Spurs have won 60 games. The top team in the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers, who clearly have their own problems, but they have won 51 games. So the second-best team in the West has won 60 games, and they are currently plus 7.6 in point differential, which, again, would be second-best in the NBA. So you're talking about playing the second-best team in the NBA, point differential better than Houston. I agree in terms of matchup that maybe Houston, especially with Harden, is a little bit more of a head-scratcher. You've got Eric Gordon, Lou Williams coming off that bench. That's dangerous offensively, and the Grizzlies have struggled to defend the three of late. But I don't know why people are maybe excited is the wrong word, Brandon, but people saying we want the Spurs. I want no part of the Spurs ever. Maybe I just need to shake that a little bit because of that Houston matchup. And this is the record doesn't necessarily show it, but without Tim Duncan, there has been a bit of a transition. So do you really think the Spurs are that much better of a matchup than the Rockets for Memphis?
I think it kind of just goes to like playing style. The fact that like Zebo's a liability trying to guard out on the 3-point line. And so against the Spurs, that's not as much of an issue with the Rockets. Like all they do is, you know, three-point and at the basket. Like, they don't shoot any mid-range shots. And so I think it's more of a stylistic thing. I think that kind of plays more to the Grizzlies. And the Grizzlies have – I think they've gone, 2-2 against the Spurs, but one of those games, like, San Antonio didn't have most of their players. So Memphis has gone 1-2 against San Antonio, and like, the games had been close. So just, like, from, like, in terms of, like, the optics of it and the way it's looked, like, they've looked like decent games. The games have, like, looked like you took them to overtime once, you beat them once when they were fully healthy, and then you beat them once when they didn't have a lot of their starters. So the games in the regular season have played close, and I think that kind of, like, makes you feel a little more comfortable. And then, like, just in terms of, like, Powell doesn't necessarily guard on the three-point line well, so you've got that advantage. So it's really just in terms of matchup and style, I think the way the Spurs play and some of their personnel is less likely to give the Grizzlies and their personnel issues. I think Berno talked about this on his pod yesterday. It's just kind of like just the Zebo thing kind of plays better in a matchup against the Spurs. And so I think that's really what it is more than anything.
And that's interesting because in the past, Zach has been a liability against the Spurs. So now you're looking at a possibility now that he's that bench player, or maybe he's a little bit more effective in that matchup. So I think there's an argument to be made there. We're chatting with new co-host of GBB Live, Brandon Connor. He is a GBB senior features writer. Excited to have him on the podcast with me moving forward. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, @BallFromGrace. This, of course, is GBB Live, and I am your host, Joe Mullinax. It's the time in the show for that giveaway that I was mentioning from our great sponsor, GrizzEssentials.net. Make sure you're checking them out for all your Grizzlies gear needs as the playoffs approach. It's a great way to get fitted for a playoff push and playoff run. So GrizzEssentials.net, make them your one stop for subscription Grizzlies gear. I am having in my hand here, Brandon, I have a trivia question, and I think it's pretty easy, and hopefully those that are listening live are able to get it pretty easily. Who, Brandon, recently won the NCAA National Championship? This isn't the question. It was North Carolina, right?
That is correct.
It was North Carolina. That would be way too easy, okay? North Carolina, still kind of easy, currently has two representatives on the Memphis Grizzlies roster. They are two alumni of the North Carolina Tar Heels basketball program. I need you to tell me their names. So that is the prize. The first person to tweet that in, the first person to maybe call it in, that'll be the person who wins the GrizzEssentials.net subscription box. Again, the question is, the Memphis Grizzlies currently have two alumni from the current national champion, recent national champion, North Carolina Tar Heels. Who are they? Tweet at us at GBB Live, or if you want to call into the show, 347-327-9173. That would be a good way to call in as well. Again, 347-327-9173. First tweet or first call that I see will get the Grizz Essentials free, emphasizing free, subscription. Brandon, Russell Westbrook is a monster. I can't stress that enough. Russell Westbrook is a guy who just completely destroyed the Memphis Grizzlies. I think the Thunder are nothing without him. He's clearly the MVP, and he put on a show, especially in crunch time when they needed him most, against the Grizzlies in Memphis on Wednesday night. I believe I saw a tweet. It might have been from Matt Moore, HP Basketball. Some bookie, some Las Vegas thing has the Thunder as a 60% possibility that they beat. Right now it would be the Houston Rockets in the first round. Do you think that the Thunder have a real shot at that?
I'm surprised. I'd still put money on the Rockets. I guess since considering that they rely a lot on the three, I think teams that rely on three-point shooting a lot are a little bit more subject to wider variances. I think the Hornets had that problem as well. So if the Rockets go cold, maybe. I think I heard something today, like the matchups between Oklahoma City and Houston, like all they played four times and three of the games have been within like 5 points within the last few minutes. And so their games have been close. I think Houston's won three. One of them was a blowout, and then Oklahoma City won the other one in a close game. So all of their games have been close, but I think if I were putting money on it, I'd probably still take the Rockets in that situation.
I feel like most people would. I mean, the Rockets have been a really tremendous basketball team. That just surprised me. I wanted to get your quick take on that. you look at this team moving forward. Mike Conley, it was reported by Tim McMahon of ESPN. He is going to play against the New York Knicks on Friday night. The Grizzlies will be as close to full strength as they can possibly be, and we'll touch on that here in a little bit. But do you think it's smart for Mike to kind of rush back to get into that next game? I'm a little bit nervous, okay? The Knicks are clearly phoning it in. Carmelo has come out in the media and said, oh, it is what it is. I have a reduced role. I'm not going to shoot as much. You know, the Knicks are a dumpster fire. I personally think they could find a way to beat the Knicks without Conley, but at the same time, it makes sense that they want to solidify that seven seed. Maybe they rest Mark and Mike the last two games getting ready for the postseason. Who knows? And obviously, Mark has been out for a while, so maybe he just wants to keep playing. If you were managing Mike Conley, say you're the athletic trainer for the Grizzlies, maybe your head coach, David Fizdale, are you bringing him back one game after that vicious cut to his eye, or are you letting him heal up a little bit?
I mean, if the swelling's gone down and if he feels comfortable, I don't see any reason necessarily to keep him out. I'm kind of more of the school of thought that says you want to kind of get him a little bit of rest prior to the playoffs. But it looked, based on a couple of tweets that I've seen, I think the PR account for the Grizzlies said that the only person out right now for Friday's game is Chandler Parsons. So it looks like Conley's going to play at this point. So based on that, I think they should be back to full strength. And so, I mean, of course, you've still got the possibility of the Courtney Lee revenge game. So there's that option. There's that possibility going into Friday. I think they just want to use these last few games probably to get back into rhythm. Cause like we talked about before, Mark missed all that time with the strained foot. And then you had Conley go out as well. And he missed the last game. So they probably want to get their starters in for at least a little while through these past few games to get into a rhythm and just like not work them too hard, but just get them to where they're a little bit more back into the flow of things before they go into the playoffs.
I would agree with that. I think that makes sense. That's a logical conclusion. I want them to be in rhythm. I want them to be as healthy as possible though, as well. I have made an executive decision, Brandon. We had two people that were very close on Twitter to getting the answer right. So I and Mark King, who is now on our staff as a GBB video editor, and he also runs Grizz Essentials, you know, I haven't given away many Grizz Essentials boxes lately. So I'm giving away two. I love the generosity of Grizz Essentials. I love Mark King and what he does over there with his family and the great business, making it more Grizzly-centric once again, and I'm sure he'll be happy to give Justin C. Sims at Big Sim 50. And, we're a PG show, so we'll go Mother Blanker Jones. Mother Blanker Jones at Kill the Hype G. He also had the right answer, and they were very close to each other. Brandon Wright, Vince Carter, that is the correct answer. Those are the two UNC alums. Congratulations, you two. We'll get your information at the end of the show, and we will make sure that you get your Grizz Essentials boxes. And thanks for listening to the live recording. We're wrapping up here with Brandon C. Brandon Connor, he is the new co-host of GBB Live alongside me, Joe Mullinax. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at Ball From Grace. Brandon, as you know, we do a question of the day every week. This week's question seemed to confuse people. It really upset me. I was kind of frustrated, including you. It made sense to me, darn it. And I was only having flashes of that guy, that famous, it's still real to me, you know, the wrestling guy. It made sense to me. And you guys on Twitter were just brutal. But the question of the day, and we had almost 180 folks vote, so thanks to all who voted in the poll. What are your playoff expectations for the Memphis Grizzlies? Do you expect them to lose in the first round? Do you expect them to advance out of the first round? Do you expect them to make it to the second round but then lose? Or do you expect them to win in the second round and then make the Western Conference Finals, maybe go on a run? Very negative viewpoint. I was surprised at the realistic, slightly pessimistic view of the fan base. 53% of people, Brandon, who voted in the poll say that they're going to lose in the first round. And then the other side of the spectrum, the next closest vote getter is the unrealistic fan, the overly optimistic fan, the overflowing cup of optimism. They think they're going to make the Western Conference Finals and maybe more. So I'll pose that question to you. I'm guessing you voted in the poll. Which did you take? Did you take lose in the first round, win in the second round, lose in the second round, which means they made it to the second and then they lost? Or do you have them making it beyond that second round And don't give a series prediction because we're going to do that next week with our guest on our playoff preview. But just a general idea where you're leaning with three games to go in the regular season.
At this point, I just think the Spurs are going to be favored in the series, and I'd have to lean like with the way. I mean, I think Popovich probably has some schemes up his sleeve, just to like for the playoffs, and so he'll probably use that. I think the Grizz. So I went with losing the first round. I mean, I love for them to prove me wrong. I generally try to be a realist when it comes to sports, and so I went with the vast majority of people, which I'm actually kind of surprised that more people didn't pick him to upset, just based on I feel like fans are generally a little more optimistic. I'm actually kind of surprised that the majority of people went with the like the less the more pessimistic view.
Overly pessimistic. And I think that if we're being honest, you know, like you said, well, you picked that option, I picked that option, and we'll give our full predictions next week as GBB prepares for the playoffs. But I see them losing in the first round too. Here's why. Okay, here's why, Brandon. And I'm going to go off on a tangent here a little bit. Something that frustrates me as a fan, a blogger, media, pseudo, whatever you want to call me. I've been called lots of things. I can take it. What frustrates me is when people continuously say this team is healthy, because they're not. This team is not healthy. They haven't been healthy all season long because Chandler Parsons is not there. Chandler Parsons was meant to be the third best player on this team. Chandler Parsons was meant to be that bridge, as so many people have said who are smarter than me. He was meant to be that guy who was going to connect the grit and grind era to whatever was next with a new big three of Conley, Gasol, and Parsons. And he was physically able to do it. He was physically able to do it. We've seen it. I've seen it. I haven't seen it in Beale Street Blue, and that's completely fair, and I understand the frustration of people. But if you're just not paying attention, if you don't watch him play against Memphis. There are two times he destroyed the Grizzlies, destroyed them, doing the exact things that they needed him to do. Create off the pick and roll as a bigger wing, shoot the three at a consistent clip, a facilitator of offense. Those were the three major issues that Chandler Parsons was brought in to address, and that's check, check, check. A healthy Chandler Parsons does all three of those things, regardless of your personal opinions about Chan Kuhn, regardless of how you feel about him in terms of being Memphis enough, quote unquote. And Chase Lucas and Anthony Sain had a great conversation about that on You Like Hoops this week. Check it out. Regardless of how you personally feel about that man, I don't understand how you can overlook the fact that he was supposed to be the third guy. He was the third man in my Bobby Heenan and Tony Schiavone voice from Bash at the Beach. He was the third guy. It was him. You have been without your third best player the entire season. Period. Now you can debate, oh, they shouldn't have signed him. Oh, we need to talk about stretch provisions. We did that in our GBB roundtable this week. Oh, when do they trade him? How do they get rid of this guy? If you want to have that conversation, fine. But you need to understand something. Grit and grind era, no grit and grind era, however you feel about the past 7 years of this basketball team, they have made the investment. They need Chandler Parsons to win at this stage. They need him to win at the level that fans want them to win at. This team, as constructed without Chandler Parsons, with a 40-year-old starting small forward, with Tony Allen, who has been underrated, and we were talking about this on Twitter before the show, an underrated negative player this year, you have two guys on the wing who can't consistently get it done for you. And I'm not saying that Chandler Parsons should be playing right now. Clearly he shouldn't. He sucked when he was playing. That's fine. But don't say that this team is healthy, because they're not. This is not a healthy Grizzlies team. Their third best player is having his third knee surgery. And if he doesn't come back in October, they are screwed, Brandon. They are screwed. So that is why I am feeling so negative. And that is why I don't understand the overwhelming positivity, because their third best player is not available for the playoffs. And that is a problem. And he hasn't been available the entire season, essentially.
Oh, man, Joe's riled up over here.
I'm fired up. I got to tell you, it drives me nuts. It drives me nuts when people say they're healthy, because they're not. You're completely ignoring the third best player on the roster. And don't give me Zach Randolph. He's having a great year as a sixth man. Yeah, he's a bench player now, guys. He's a bench player now. Chandler Parsons was brought in to be the starting wing. He was brought in to be the guy to be that third option behind Mark and Mike. And that's the bottom line. Whether you like him or not, he was that third guy. and now he's not there. And I don't understand how you can honestly think that they're going to beat the Spurs, the San Antonio freaking Spurs, without their third best player healthy. I don't get it. And that's just me.
It's preposterous. Crab Rangoon. Sorry, I thought we were doing our first take impression
that's
here.
That's probably as close to Stephen A. Smith I have ever gotten. I'll give you that. I've been doing, I think we're over 100 episodes now. That was Joe A. Smith almost.
Man, Joe's going off and firing off some hot takes here tonight.
I mean, do you disagree though? And that's my, you can disagree with saying that Chandler Parsons, you know, and anybody who says this, I demand that they show me the proof, because 90% of people, if not more, loved the signing when it happened. If you were honestly concerned about his knee, if you were on or knees, if you were honestly concerned about the cost, show me. And I can respect your opinion. But a vast majority of people said, boom, the Grizzlies are winners in free agency because they needed a guy who could facilitate, who could create off the pick and roll, and who could shoot the three. And Chandler Parsons did all three of those things. So I don't understand how you can lose that piece. And again, you could argue that you can't lose something you never had, because they didn't have it this season. That's fair. But if you never had it, you were never healthy the entire season. That's kind of my thought process.
I mean, I'm with you, and I think, like, the only thing that you can really go back and, like, if you want to criticize the front office, the only thing you can really go back and say is, like, if they didn't do their full – if, like, they saw some medical history or they saw the medical reports that were worse than expected and then they still pulled the trigger, I think then it's fair to question it. But, like, the reports were that he was – like, that surgery was supposed to be, like, a – what, 6 week or, like – 6 week procedure, and he was supposed to be fine. Like, I don't, that was the only way you were really going to improve, was going out and paying big money. You're going to have to overspend, especially like a market team. What's the best you can do? Going back, like, a lot of people want to, like, use hindsight 2020, like, look back and say, oh, well, they should have known better. Like, I'd still, knowing everything that I know now, I'd still, like, go back and do, like, make the same decision again. Like, I'd still do the signing. Like, I don't understand. Like, there's so much religious history now just based off of one season. And people now think, like, there's been so much talk about blowing it up and, like, he has to be dumped and we have to try to, like, Brooklyn an asset to take him on now. And so, like, I mean, it's been one season. Like, at least give him – I'll start worrying more when he's back next season if he starts to look like – if you're probably like December of next year after a full offseason, you've had another surgery, you still just can't move around and can't play physically, like that's when I start to worry. And then I start to like, then I say, you probably got to look at getting rid of this guy and seeing what you can do to get him off your books. But at this point, like it's a moot point. Like not, you don't have the draft assets to like throw away and you're just setting yourself back again. Like this team done that before. You don't want to hit the reset button again off of 1 year of this, like just a lost season. You just have to eat it and move on.
It's letting personal feelings get in the way of sound decision-making. And that's just my take. And people will probably say it's hilarious that you're saying sound decision-making and people disagree with me all the time. And that's fine. You're allowed to disagree with me. We're all allowed to have an opinion. But you can't watch Chandler Parsons play when he's healthy. And you can't look at his numbers. Maybe you debate the contract, but that was the market, okay? Maybe Portland didn't offer him the full max, but Chandler Parsons is not coming to Memphis, Tennessee without a max contract. He's not. And Mike Conley would have left. We've heard that from multiple sources now. If Chandler Parsons was not in Memphis, Mike Conley would have been in Dallas. From multiple people. It can't be a fact because you didn't hear Conley say it out of his mouth. But I've heard and read from multiple people that Conley would be in Dallas if Parsons was not here. So what do you want? Well, what are you looking for? Would you rather have Evan Turner? Would you rather have somebody along the a year of Rajon Rondo to replace Mike Conley? Is that what you want? I don't know. I just don't get it. It frustrates me immensely, clearly. We're finishing up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I'm your host, Joe Molinax. My co-host, Brandon Connor, who probably regrets becoming my co-host now, joining me for the first time. Follow him on Twitter.
I'm here for the first take hot takes. I'm here for it.
I'm pretty hot takey sometimes. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, at Ball from Grace. Brandon, we always end the show. This is your first chance kind of doing this in the co-host role. The preview of the week ahead. The next time we're going to be on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves is Thursday, April 13th. I'm very excited about that prospect because we're going to have a jam-packed playoff preview for everyone. Kevin Leip of the Memphis Flyer and John Roser of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis have already agreed to be our guests. So we're going to have a massive playoff preview show for you next week. Very excited about it. But we got to preview the last three regular season games. We've got the Knicks at home at 7 o'clock Central Time on Friday night. So hopefully it's a good weekend crowd. A 5 o'clock matinee against the Detroit Pistons, which makes me nervous, the earlier start time, on Sunday, April 9th. And then Wednesday, April 10th, or 12th, excuse me, the last game of the season, you've got Dallas at home. So the Grizzlies don't have to travel for essentially a week, which is nice. That kind of contributes to that being rested up thing before they likely go to San Antonio for, you'd imagine, a Saturday night or Sunday night, maybe even Sunday night. They might be the last game on a Sunday, but one of those kinds of matchups. So how do you see that playing out? They need one win to clinch that seven seed. They're playing three teams who are, I believe, I haven't double-checked Detroit lately, but I'm pretty sure Detroit is not in the playoff push. Detroit's out of it. So you're playing three teams that have no interest in being in the playoffs. They're probably trying to lose, depending on draft positioning and pick acquisition, to improve their standing. They're probably going to start resting their big guys. They'll start resting their stars. That is all possible at this stage. Plenty of teams have already started doing it. The Grizzlies still need at least one win. So do you see the Grizzlies getting that win? Do you see them going 1-2 in these last three home games, or do you see them doing better? What do you think the Grizzlies need to do to have a good last three-game stretch of the season here?
I mean, I'd like to see them go 2-1. I think they can certainly go 3-0. Like, the Knicks are bad. The Pistons have actually lost 10 of their last 12. So, I mean, they're, like, just – so they've hit the skids right now. They're out of – I mean, they're out of the playoffs, like you said. And so – and then the Mavericks have – I don't know what their injury situation is. I know Noel had missed some time with, I think it was like knee soreness or something of that, like that sort of injury. So you don't even really know what these teams are going to look like when you play them. You don't know what the Grizzlies are going to do. Like I said, I think Memphis will probably go play their starters for at least a little bit against most of these teams, just to get rhythm back. So I think they should be able to go at least 2-1. I don't see why they can't go 3-0 unless they start pulling players, kind of keeping guys, watching guys' minutes a little bit more. But still, these are three pretty bad teams. So I'm going to say 2-1, 3-0 being a possibility. And I really think 1-2 is like the worst possible outcome. Like I don't see how they can go 0-3 against these teams.
I would agree with that, even if they rested guys, even if they said, you know what, screw it, we're going to give Conley and Gasol, and they're not going to do this, at least not especially Friday night. We're going to give Conley and Gasol and Jamichael, we're going to give all these guys nights off the next couple of games, getting ready, getting rest. They're still going to win one of these games. So they're going to clinch that seven seed. I think it's more likely. Do you agree with this, Brandon? I personally think 1-2 is more likely than 3-0, but I agree with you that 2-1 is the most likely scenario. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's where I am too.
So 2-1 is the most likely thing. I could see them losing one game and pulling out two of these other ones. I don't see them going 0-3. I agree with that. I don't see them going 3-0. So 2-1 or 1-2, that's where they're at. And it'll be interesting to see how healthy they are going into the series, likely with the San Antonio Spurs. It's going to be a great first show with Brandon C. asking questions to our guest next week. Very excited about it. Very excited to have you on board, Brandon. Like I said earlier, and I meant it, you're one of our most valuable members of the GBB staff in terms of your passion, in terms of your work ethic and your content. So it's an honor for me to be sharing the GBB Live mantra with you. I'm excited to keep grinding as we head into the postseason.
Oh, this has been a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the playoffs, kind of ready to get the regular season over with now.
Agreed. It's been a long one. Lots of debate, lots of anger. It'll be nice to kind of head into that postseason and see what this Grizzlies team is made of. Thank you to GrizzEssentials.net, our tremendous sponsor, for giving away not one, but two Grizzlies boxes of gear at GrizzEssentials.net. Make sure you're checking them out. Make sure you're subscribing to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss our show or you don't miss Chase Lucas's You Got Hoops. I can't stress enough, his latest episode with Anthony Sane is tremendous. Anthony Sane is the creator of the Blue World Order blog. We've had him on GBB Live before, but you haven't heard him like this on GBB Live's podcast network, at least. So make sure you're checking out You Like Hoops. Make sure you subscribe. Give us a review or a rating. Talk about how wonderful Brandon is, how terrible I am. However you want to get rolling with iTunes, that would be fine. Make sure you're subscribing so you never miss an episode of GBB Live. As I said, our next show is going to be April 13th. We're going to record live at the same time. It's going to be a playoff preview. John Roser of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis and Kevin Leip of the Memphis Flyers Beyond the Arc blog. They will be our guests, and they are two of the best to bring on when it's time to talk playoff basketball in Memphis, Tennessee. For Brandon Connor, my co-host, I am Joe Mullinax. Thank you so much for listening. However you are tuning in on Blog Talk Radio, on iTunes, live, podcast archives, however, thank you so much for joining us. It means a lot. We're excited for playoff basketball. These last three games are big ones for the Grizzlies. It'll be interesting to see how they play them out. Again, for Brandon, I'm Joe. Thank you kindly. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. This has been Grizzly Bear Blues Live.